You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance a Kicks or Cash Tie to receive up to three payments on them. Finance rates from 0% on select Cash Ties. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final Hour Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Craig Button will be in studio later in the hour. Jerry's After Dark later in the hour. Raptors not even playing tonight. I mean, that's what Toronto really needs. After the Leafs lost last night, like, give us a team that is going to roll in and get a W tonight. But they don't play until Friday.
They get a little nice little break.
Little break. Good for them. Yeah, we know where they're going.
They've
earned it, and they're through the trade deadline, and we know who they are and what they are, and they're going to be playing in April and in May. It's just a matter of how far they're willing to go or how far they can take it.
Yeah.
The other team that plays in that building, very different story. We'll get back into that momentarily. Someone texting in that the Big Baller brand has announced a relaunch. Apparently, LeVar Ball is relaunching the Big Baller brand.
Without his son?
I didn't know it really went out of business. I mean, I didn't even think it really launched. I mean, did you have a launch if no one bought your products or no one paid attention to you?
Well, I would love to know how much they sold first time around.
It wasn't many.
There's probably analytics out there. There's probably some form of numbers.
There's a few celebs that jumped on board, and they're like, I'm going to buy a pair of Big Baller brand to support that.
Do you think they're worth anything right now?
Yeah, I'm just reading it right now. Big Baller brand announces relaunch.
Yeah, how do you relaunch something that never took off?
Well,
Tell me if I'm wrong, though.
Is it one of these movies? I think it was either Unforgiven or Braveheart that did a really crappy first time around in the theaters, and they relaunched them. And
I think
it was Unforgiven. I want to say it was Clint Eastwood's. Like, it did so bad they relaunched it, and then it won like an Oscar.
Well, you see that in music all the time. Now, it's right. Not that. I guess it's not that it did so awful. You're not in the theaters. It's that no one was paying attention because no one knew who the artist was.
Right.
Like, you're seeing that with Lizzo, who's massive now.
Right.
And she's unreal. I got to be honest. Her music is spectacular. But her big track is that Good as Hell or whatever. Mm-hmm. It came out in like 2016. But no one knew who she was.
So they revamped it now?
And now it's like a number one hit as far as I know.
Yeah.
You know.
Smart.
And
smart to
it should. Like, once you hit, you're dealing with a whole new audience. They're like, okay, I know who she is. Give me more. And they're like, all right, well, here's something from 2 years ago you're going to like.
Yeah, that's smart. Well, maybe Big Baller brand is going to sort it out again.
Well, they got another. You know what? Here's what's happening. I guarantee. I just picked up on this thinking about it on the fly. LaMelo Ball is going top five in this upcoming draft.
Okay.
So the youngest brother is coming into the NBA.
And if I'm LaMelo, I have one piece of advice for my dad. I saw your behavior with Lonzo, the stupid comments, calling out Michael Jordan, saying that you could take him in a one-on-one game. I'm better than Michael Jordan. It was honestly a sideshow. He was talking to Stephen A. Smith once a week. He was everywhere, that guy. And if I'm that kid, who I think is going to be a high pick.
Top five player,
yeah,
I think.
I'm saying I don't want to hear your name. Take your shoes and shove them. They're garbage. Nobody wants them. Notice how this is popping up right to the buildup of this?
I think that's exactly what's happening.
He's
got a new kid that's
and
coming
I would
in.
Tell the dad, it's stopping right now. This is not happening. No one likes the shoes. No one's wearing the shoes. Your other son, Lonzo, stopped wearing the shoes, and he went on a radio station, and he carved the brand. Why are you doing this to me? Stay out of my life and be my dad. End of story.
Makes a lot of sense to me, but he's 18 or 19 years old.
Yeah.
That's so, when you have full authority to tell your dad to back off.
Well, you do, but Lonzo didn't do it.
No.
Like, Lonzo still isn't doing it, right? Like, Lonzo, yes, he was like, I'm not wearing that shoe, nor should you. You're in the NBA.
Right.
That shoe is made of, like, newspapers. Like, it's a brutal shoe.
Did somebody get injured with it? Like,
no.
I don't know if it blew up or not.
No,
I don't think so.
Lonzo just said they were garbage. He's like,
yeah, they're brutal shoes.
Zion's shoe blew apart, and
well,
that
it was a Nike shoe.
That was an issue.
But then
that?
Nike signed him. It was a massive story.
Like, this guy's shoe just exploded.
Well, and they were playing.
They were playing in like March Madness, wasn't it?
No, but I think it was against Duke. I think it was like, he was on Duke. It was Duke versus Carolina.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, the battle of battles.
Nike dodged a bullet there.
Big time, because his knee didn't completely blow out.
Right.
And they ended up signing him, right? Remember they were going to make him new shoes, and they sent the patent to, like, Phil Knight himself, and then they went out and... But they were dancing around it because Zion was an amateur athlete, so he wasn't technically allowed to promote it or whatever. They weren't allowed to use his image, I guess, or whatever. But that may have actually kind of led to the relationship where they locked him in once he went pro.
Yeah, because he probably said, like...
Hook me up here. You owe me.
Yeah, you owe me big time. I could have sewered your brand.
Mm-hmm.
They flat out... I mean, he seems like he's going to be a great player.
He's already looking like a great player,
he's
man.
He's a beast.
I can't wait to see the stretch run. Like, I don't think New Orleans can get in. I don't think they will get in, but it's not completely over. And a lot of the buzz is surrounding Zion Williamson. He has been huge.
Yeah. Baller brand is not going to...
I don't see a relaunch working. I don't see it landing.
Well, but, you just mentioned the guy. Their teammates, Lonzo and Zion, the only way that this thing goes is if a guy like Zion starts wearing them.
Yeah.
He says, I'm a big believer, and he's just not going to do
it. Never going to happen. Never, ever in a million years. Like, Nike's paying him. I think, is he a part of the Jordan brand? I don't. That's always confusing, too. Like, you're Nike or the Jordan brand, but it's all the same thing. And I don't know if he is a part of the Jordan brand or not.
Well, you know, the minute that LeBron got to L.A., he's like, Lonzo, you can leave.
Yeah, oh, yeah. LeBron had, and LeVar Ball shut his yap quickly.
Yes.
When LeBron showed up, it was like,
yeah,
one more word out of you,
yeah,
and security will be escorting you right out of the state.
Exactly.
Forget the Staples Center. You're leaving California.
They dusted him.
Yeah, and he was out. And anyway, New Orleans, I mean, they're on the up and up. I don't think there's any doubt about that. All right, Craig Button will be in studio in a little bit. We've been talking a lot about the Maple Leafs today.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, after last night. And, you know, hopefully there's a response tomorrow night. They've still got 21 games left. I know we keep coming back to that same well. We're trying to find some silver linings.
That's a quarter of the season, but it's the toughest part of the season. That's the concerning part if you're a fan is, you know, most nights you know what your team's capable of or... You know, kind of how they're going to play. Like, I think, you said it in either the 4 o'clock hour. Like, they have an A game, and then they've got nothing. Like, there's no B game, like, where, they didn't have it, but, boy, they worked hard, or they grinded out a win, or what.
They don't compensate for the skill not being there.
There's the biggest indictment you can ever say about a team is a lot of times it's just not competitive.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing. I wasn't Sidney Crosby, or I wasn't... Evgeny Malkin, but you know what? When a big game was coming up, I'd like to say about myself, I was competitive and I knew the situation. You got to be competitive. That's all the pro sports is, competition. You can't go out there and say, we're going to kind of dangle around and put it through the legs and whatever. That's not competitive.
Right.
You got to compete. I always believe whatever angle you look at pro sports, you could be a stats person, you could be an old school person. It is a series of individual competitive battles, and the team that wins more of them, they had Sidney Crosby
generally
last night.
Generally wins the game, yep.
Yeah, they had Sidney Crosby last night. He had 4 points. But there was a bunch of other competitive situations that they just fell short on. They didn't win them. So when you do that night in and night out and say, we had the puck, though, or our expected under the bars were 80% or whatever, I don't give a rat's ass about that. You have to be competitive.
Yeah, and I think we'd all agree they have certainly enough skill to be a good team. Like, they have – there's a lot of teams out there that work hard and that play a system, but they're like, we can't ultimately move ahead because we don't have Matthews or Marner or Nylander or Tavares. Like, we don't have it.
Right.
We can battle. We can grind. We can do this. We're going to kind of stay competitive and finish around 87 or 88 points or whatever. But we can't quite get over the top because we don't have that high-end skill. That's the most difficult thing to find if you're an executive.
Right.
If you're an executive, the most difficult thing to land is, you know, a superstar, a game changer, like a Matthews or a Marner or a Tavares. They have that. It's just, and it starts with those guys. You can't cheat on effort. You can't cheat on assignments. And we'll see what they have tomorrow night. We'll get Craig in here in about 15 minutes, and we'll put a quarter in Craig. Craig's been fired up since last night. Speaking of cheating, all right, we've talked a little bit about your boy, Patrick Reed, who is probably the Houston Astros of the tour, right? Like, is he the Astros of the PGA Tour? He's
Who likes Patrick Reed?
Nobody.
Does anybody like Patrick Reed?
I think it went as far, Brian. There was a, it was a while back. It wasn't that far after the sand incident where he was digging sand up in the Bahamas. He was relevant in the tournament, and the network, I don't know which one it was, but they refused to put him on TV. They didn't show any of his shots because someone tweeted out, Reed's up there on the leaderboard. They're not showing one. They didn't even put him on TV.
Last week he was up there. He was real close. And a couple of weeks ago against Nick Taylor, I think he was in the running. Like, I think he's been playing pretty well.
He has been.
They just hate his guts.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think the golf world is starting to revolt against him a little bit because I think you'd be naive to suggest that everyone isn't, you know, or a lot of people aren't doing, you know, a couple of things where they're getting a little bit of an angle. Right. And they're making an adjustment.
You're deep
here
in the woods and there's not a camera. You're with your caddy and you're just stymied. You're like, screw this. This is a foot wedge.
Even if you're the number one player in the world or whatever, or Mr. Integrity or Mr. Etiquette.
Yes.
But Reed has been so blatant about it and doesn't seem to be overly remorseful. Like, even down at the President's Cup, it was ugly down there. But Peter Costas, who's been a long time analyst, and he's, you know, he's always out on the course for big tournaments and he's following guys around, and he was speaking recently about what he has witnessed personally from Patrick Reed, and here's what Costas had to say about that and how he in his position is kind of having a difficult time figuring out whether or not he should be exposing it a little bit more.
I've seen Patrick Reed improve his lie up close and personal 4 times now.
Whoa.
By putting, you can go on YouTube.
Oh, I've seen it. That's why I'm asking.
and you know, it's the only time I ever shut McCord up. He didn't know what to say. When I said, well, you know, the lie that I saw originally wouldn't have allowed for this shot. Because he put 4 or 5 clubs behind the ball, you know, kind of faking whether he's going to hit this shot or hit that shot, whatever. By the time he was done, he hit a freaking 3-wood out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Which when I saw it was a sand wedge layup.
So, you know, he also said during that interview, like,
by the way, you better be right, Peter Costas, because he'll be coming after you if you're not, and who knows.
Well,
was there video of any of this, though?
Well, he said if you go on YouTube, you can find, like, it was the same thing with in the bunker in the Bahamas. He did the old fake, and meanwhile, his club was kind of
moving along.
Well, he was giving himself a better lie. He wasn't moving the ball, but the lie was obviously more advantageous, and like, that's extreme. Him saying, when I looked at it, it's a wedge out, like laying up basically or pitching out
and by
to
the time
a 3-wood. That's
Tam O'Shantern stuff with jean shorts on a Sunday stuff.
Yeah.
That's what, honestly, I'm not trying to poke fun, but that's what you do. You're like, you're in the rough, you're like, screw it, I'm not hitting it like that. I've seen you do it.
Well, not from a sand wedge to a 3-wood.
Dude, I mean, I've seen you fluff in the rough where it's just, you just say, I'm not digging this out. And you fluff it up, and it's a hybrid on the green.
But that's amateur golf crap. I appreciate that you think I can hit that on the green. But, well, it's not amateur because this guy's on tour. This guy's got a green jacket. So you're telling me my styles, I guess, are appropriate for that. But so that's basically like teeing it up, you know, on the fairway or on the rough.
I think
you know, like, I'm going to put a tee under the ball.
I think he thinks he found like a little loophole where he could try it, and then now people are starting to call him out on it.
Yes. Well, and that's it. And Costas is a well-respected guy. But like Costas also said, he's like, as commentators, it's not our job to call out cheating in the moment, which seems a little bit strange. But I think that speaks to the etiquette of the game and respect for the players. And, hey, maybe I'm not seeing it properly, so I'm not going to make myself the story here. Like, hey, hold up, guys. But even Costas got to a point where he's like, I had to say what I had to say. Like, dude, that looked like a... He was punching it out with a wedge, and now he just bombed
for the integrity to protect the field. Why wouldn't Costas tell the camera people or the people in the truck, go back and say, watch the footage of that and play it again and let the people decide? Because you know somebody would have called in at that time, and it would have protected the field. Costas is talking about it. He didn't protect the field either.
Let me ask
He saw it and just didn't do anything about it.
What else has he seen that he didn't call out?
Well, that's it. Let me ask you this.
Well, he's been in the game a long. He's probably seen a lot of stuff. He's probably had a couple awkward handshakes where it's like, congrats?
Yeah, I saw you give yourself about 3 inches on that putt.
Well, let me ask you this. Who sits on their couch and calls in?
It's the most...
Who the hell calls in?
They're not allowed anymore.
Yeah, finally, the tour came to their senses. It is the lamest thing you could ever do.
There was instances where the ball, they'd put it down in front of their marker, and it would like oscillate a tiny bit, and they're like, the guy's ball moved, two-stroke penalty, blah, blah. They'd call in, and then they
Who
go back
would
to
call
the tape.
In, though?
Well, that,
idiots. It,
that's the whole point.
Idiots.
Losers. Losers would call in. Losers. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. Cost Dustin Johnson was it a U.S. Open or a PGA?
Somebody called in. It was like
someone called in.
Straights. It was like a piece of crap, but it was...
It was a penalty.
It was a bunker. He should have known not to ground his club, but he grounded his club.
Right. But it was... I do believe... Like
it wasn't agreed.
It was not intentional. Yeah. I don't think he was. It wasn't a Patrick Reed scenario.
That was one of. I think what year was that? I think that's when Twitter started to take a factor.
Yeah, it wasn't long ago. It would have been 5 years ago, maybe. Or
it's like people were like, that guy grounded his club. That's a bunker. And then all of a sudden, hell broke loose. And then they went back to the video. They're like, Dustin Johnson's going to lose this golf tournament because he grounded his club.
Yeah, but it was. They didn't catch it live. Like
so
you know, there's a million. Marshals around and rules officials, and they didn't see it. And technically, it's on Johnson to know better and call himself on it. But
here's
some guy from Wisconsin called in, and
he lost. Who won?
Jordan Spieth?
No. Martin Keimer.
Marty Keimer.
Oh, that I.
Marty Keimer. That was in 2010. That was 10 years ago. Oh, wow, you're right about Twitter just getting going.
That's gutless.
Yeah, that's
though.
When Twitter was like, that was a grounded club in the bunker, and people were going crazy.
How old is he, Dustin Johnson?
Call it? Like, I do. Never in my life
now?
Would I think to call
of
it.
Of course not, because you have a life. Like, even if you see it and you're yelling at the screen, you know, who looks up the number, gets the number? Imagine having the job where you have to answer those calls. Yeah, USGA hotline.
Yeah, truck here at the tournament. What's going on, Rick from Minnesota? Half snapped
it.
On your couch?
That's the best part. Probably the amount of guys who would call him buckled.
No, yes. The guy buckled. Just finished 18. He's had 7 on the patio at the club, and he goes home and calls in to rat a guy out after he just probably fluffed it in the rough all morning.
That's the best part.
I know. This guy fluffed it in the rough. The guy that calls in because he knows what it looks like.
It's probably been me.
It's like, I should call I've in. I've seen that move. Yeah. I did that earlier.
That guy stealing
my
material.
Steve Hayes.
Yeah.
He just fluffed it in the rough.
I saw some guy do that at Tam O'Shanter. I mean... Yeah, stealing my material on tour.
It's still ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous. And it's the right thing to do. Stop the hotline. And now with social media and replay and all that kind of stuff, they don't really need some Yahoo calling in.
No.
Someone eventually is going to get to them and be like, hey, we witnessed it on CBS. Like, there was some cheating going on.
It is ridiculous, like, for people to call in. I don't even...
It's a great bit. We should actually morph that into a bit.
Have somebody call
someone
in.
Call
the hotline.
In. We should have an over. We used to have a hotline.
We used to have an overdrive hotline.
We after like 2 weeks, we're like, that's enough.
Yeah, that one guy kept calling in. Was it West the Mess or something like that?
Yeah, we did get a couple calls from the same people. And that's the thing. If we had a hotline, people would call in and be like, Hayes used the wrong word on Tuesday. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
What are we supposed to do about that?
How are we supposed to correct our mistakes?
Did you pick up on the word he used, by the way?
What?
Oscillate?
Yeah, I did pick, like, it oscillated.
That's a great word, but you're calling me out earlier in the week for being a little bit too wise.
He had seen that, though. You saw that on the Golf Channel.
Only time I've ever used that word is in golf. It's like my ball oscillated on the green.
It's a great
which
word.
Which means it pivoted, it turned?
Shifted. Like, just shifted.
Oscillate.
I went along with it, but I understood.
Yeah.
But I wasn't.
See, I don't go a lot. Whenever you come up with something, I'm like, hang on a second here.
Oscillate is a great word.
Oscillate?
I don't think I've ever used that word before.
No.
That's out of my wheelhouse, not my vocabulary.
It's a quality word.
Yeah.
Just like I give you permission with yes guy, no guy, I'll give you permission to use oscillate.
The Tat Man would have been really upset on his dance floor last night with the Leafs loss.
Yeah, he wouldn't be happy. He wants to be there, pregame and postgame for a playoff run.
Yeah.
Like everyone else.
On, underwear, like you.
Underwear, glasses, mustache, and playoffs.
With his vinyl oscillating.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, guy.
Craig Button in studio next. All right, we have a pair of Leaf tickets to give away. Leafs taking on the Canucks on February 29th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this former Leaf has only played for one other NHL franchise. Little Lady Gaga coming in for Craig Button. You like that, Craig?
Oh, for sure.
On fire.
Sure. I'm going to plan my hits tonight on SC with a get a choreographer in here and figure out what music I want to have in the background.
Right. Well, the Leafs are practicing to different tunes, man.
Oh, yeah,
Justin Bieber was playing today, and I think Lady Gaga may have made an appearance, and that seems reasonable after a brutal loss last night.
Oh, yeah. I heard what Jeff and you guys have been talking about, and bottom at the end of the day, you know, I don't think there's it's one thing to be a bad team or to be a team that falls short, but to your point, when you're a team with no identity,
right,
you're faceless. What are you?
Yeah, it's like you're an opportunistic team that can beat you on the power play, and you could beat you with a turnover game, but that's great if some team like Detroit doesn't show up and you can dummy them. But when the team shows up and is ready to play, what the hell do you have? And that the answer is right now, it's nothing.
I totally agree. And Jake Muzzin said it a few times now. He goes, yeah, you know, we want it easy. And then when it gets hard, we can't do it, right? Like, that's Jake Muzzin. So forget about what I say.
Right.
Like, listen to the number eight on your team.
Yeah, if we're all reading this the same way, he's kind of saying, I don't know if everyone in this room really wants to fight, you know, through has to be fought.
Right.
And then Marner today said he knows they have to work on their work ethic or whatever.
We kind of didn't.
I mean, they're kind of cliches.
But,
yeah, the Marner comment. Why don't we play that again,
play
okay,
the,
Craig? Because we'll get your take on this. This was after practice today. Here's what Mitch Marner had to say about work ethic and how the Leafs are approaching it.
You know, I think we all know we have the skill, but we don't have the work ethic every single night and every single guy buying it. So skill only takes you so far, and then, you know, the work ethic takes you to a whole nother level. So, like I said, that's something that we need to be consistently better with, and we owe it to ourselves and owe it to each other in this room.
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone's going to disagree with that, but that's what Mike Babcock said for 5 years.
Casual. It's like when Austin Matthews says, you know, we got to look each other in the mirror, and then John Tavares is like, this is unacceptable. It's like crying wolf, man.
But
I don't even believe it anyway. It's just like, okay, it's unacceptable. So 2 games from now, when you lay an egg and you don't work and you throw your sticks out there and you want to play a transition game and that only, what are you going to say after that? I don't know.
Probably more cliche.
But go ahead and prove me wrong.
I hope they do that. Yeah. I will say this, though, and we haven't brought this up. I blame the organization to an extent as well for not allowing these guys to ever show any emotion. They are taught right when they get here, don't give anyone any fodder. Don't trust anybody. Don't say anything. Don't show any emotion. So this is what you get. You get a sanitized, cliched-filled room. Because they're taught when they get here. This is Toronto, man. You're not in Arizona now.
Right.
You're not in Carolina. So,
yeah.
You know, in a way, I almost feel like they're just following orders with the keep your emotions in check and don't say anything outlandish, even though I'd love to hear it. I'd love to see someone lose it. But then there's a big story today.
You know, there's a story today. So Jake Muzzin, he's won a Stanley Cup. He's gone through the grind. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody listening to Jake Muzzin? He's been saying it for a while now. We want it easy. We want to play an easy game. And when it gets hard, we can't play that way. That's Jake Muzzin. I'm like you, Jeff. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm okay.
Battle Pittsburgh tomorrow night, tooth and nail, and just battle in every competition and just...
How about Austin Matthews, his first 2 shifts last night? The first one, Marner gives him the pass in the middle of the ice in the defense. There's a lot of game left. I'll get the puck next shift. And then he comes out later, coming back, and they end up in a long extended shift in their own zone. That's Austin Matthews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John. I mean, I thought Tavares, Marner, Nylander, and Matthews.
They were awful last night.
If I'm Sheldon Keith, those guys would have. When it was 4-0 and they got that 5-on-3, I would have never put them on the ice. I would have sat them right on the bench. You guys you haven't earned the right to go out on the power play. You guys got us in the hole, and now you want me to look to you to get us out of the hole? Not happening.
Well,
And I think Sheldon Keefe better take some control and start putting some demands on this team, too.
Do you think his GM wants that, though?
Well, okay, so I can't speak for what Kyle wants or what he's doing. I'm just telling you, you want to be a good coach?
Yeah.
You better put demands on the team.
I totally agree with you, and I think it starts at the top. You know, I think Dubas is responsible for a lot of this. The players are, the coaching staff, the management as well. But, you know, Dubas is committed to a philosophy, a system. Look at the trade he made today. You know, he picks up another 5'9 skill guy. He's pot committed to the way he operates. Today they show up back at practice. The music's playing. The kids are on the ice. They're going down to Florida next week.
So is he committed or defiant?
Well, That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I think at this phrase, at this phase, he's probably more defiant because he really he believes it. He wants to believe it. He wants to see it succeed the way that he operates.
No, I was going to say the only thing I can say, and you said it earlier in the 4 o'clock hour, and I believe it. This is how he's going to be. Whether they're winning or losing, this is how their organization is going to be. This is the way that they're trying, the culture they're trying to create. You know, the
responsibility. Treat people well.
The responsibilities on the players. You're going to, you know, you're going to give them a lot, a long leash to see how they work with. So, I don't disrespect the consistency. Because if you've had the music, if you had all this stuff, and then all of a sudden you lose a couple big games, you take that away, then probably from their mindset is like, well, we're not establishing a consistent culture, whatever culture they're trying to put forth.
Right.
That's the only thing that I would say to, you know, Music Today, kids and that. Yeah. They're just
I've had
trying
meetings
to
with coaches where this is the only time I've ever spoke up, but I had to say, like, it would be lose a game, no movie on the plane, and I pull the coach aside in practice. I go, you know, we don't play for the movie, right? Like,
right.
Like, we're not kids.
No, I get
like,
that.
You really want to, like, take the movie away on the plane because we lost? Like, get serious. I understand it's big business and you got to,
but
everyone will be quiet on the bus on the way to the airport, blah, blah, blah. But no
but
movie
what,
on the plane.
But
we're
what
not
Craig
children.
Is saying is right. Accountability is a different thing. The only bullet you have as a coach now in today's NHL is ice time. It, like, guys are making money. Everyone makes money and all of that. But you can show up a player, whether that's the right wording or not, to go, yeah, you're not going over the boards on our first power play. You're not coming up. You know, your play has put us in a tough position. And that's what a coach has, is that accountability factor. Mm-hmm. We saw it early on. There were times, was it not that long ago? I think it was early December. Matthews played 14 minutes one night. Nylander played. Like, there was some.
Yeah, they were in Western Canada, and Nylander was skipped a few shots. Yeah, it's happened. It has,
like,
happened. But,
you know, right now, I think they're chasing it. Last night, I just didn't like their effort. Like, Pittsburgh just showed them. You said it last night on SportsCenter. Pittsburgh outworked them in every facet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. That was led by Crosby. Crosby was. Wow. Best player on
the ice. But all the play. I mean, Angelo scores his first NHL goal.
Okay?
He's in the lineup because Malkin can't go because he's sick. So
right.
Here's a kid just waiting there, right? He's the one that backtracks on Kyle Clifford.
Mm-hmm.
Turns the puck over, goes to the front of the net and scores. Tell me who does that on the Leafs. Zach Hyman. I think Mitch Marner does that to a good extent. Who else does it?
Matthews picks his spots when he wants to do it.
You don't get to pick your spots in this league, Jeff.
No, I know that, Craig.
I know, and I know you know. I always say this, and as the games get more important, the teams get better. Every single play in the game is important because you do not know which play is going to lead to something positive or negative. So you got to treat every single play as important.
You know who's the best at that? One of the best that ever played at that? Marian Hossa. He backchecked and worked. And he was an unbelievably offensively gifted player.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, that puck turned over, nobody ever backchecked like Marian Hossa.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys. So have you watched football practices? Do they just work on pass routes?
No, yeah, it's both sides of the ball. It's the trenches. It's special teams. Yeah.
All that stuff, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, Bill Belichick, if they're going to play in the rain, he puts on the sprinklers and they practice with wet balls
in
the sprinklers.
Like Sheldon Keefe, I like the accountability, calling the guys out, saying that's embarrassing, blah, blah, blah. But you get dummied like that, and then it's skill development the next day of practice. Like, do you not want to teach or coach? Defense, that's the coach's responsibility. He doesn't teach these guys how to shoot the puck or score goals.
So what do we all like?
So what is their defensive approach? I don't even know. For 6 years, I've been trying to figure it out.
So baseball. Everybody likes batting practice, right? You watch them do infield practice and do the pop-ups and do the working on their double plays every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. So, like, you want to have music. I have no problem with the music. But I said today, I want some reports of, oh, they're doing some detail work today. They're doing some positional work today. And battle drills aren't about just going in and just hitting people. Battle drills are going, we're going to fight for a puck, and we're going to battle on the puck.
Right.
You know, those are battle drills.
And sometimes there's also a lesson involved, too.
if you battle during the games, sometimes you don't have to do the battle drills in practice.
I'm with you, Jeff. You know that. Like, if you did, how many coaches you guys hear?
You don't want to battle last night? Okay, you're going to do it today.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. Three down low all morning.
There it is. You know it. You guys have lived it. You guys have lived
it's just such a hidden bag skate.
Yeah, but oh, the ones.
It's the hardest thing to do in hockey is 3-on-3 down low.
So, like, you know, like, and to your point, Jamie, like, I have no problem with the culture. But you know what? This team lacks so much detail in their play. Right. And so I have no problem with philosophies and everything. Right. But and I have no problem with anybody believing in their philosophies. This is a flawed team. And the composition of this team, I don't see any chance for them to contend for a cup. They might make the playoffs. And their only saving grace is that the team they're competing with, the Florida Panthers, are equal to them in terms of offense and bad defense.
Yeah.
They're equally flawed.
Yeah, equally flawed.
So there you have it. So there's the silver lining for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah. No, and that's the biggest disappointment, I think, for Leaf fans today is that the hope was and the belief was this year would be a stepping stone. Yeah. Where in reality, they've stepped back.
Yes.
You know, like I felt better about them this time last year and certainly the year before than I do this year. And They can't get in. They might find a miracle and win a round. Maybe two, maybe. But they're not winning 16 games in the spring the way that they're built and the way that they play. But that's not going to change between now and Monday.
No.
Either. I mean, this is an organizational, I guess, you got to recognize who you are, what you got to do.
Well, that,
which is also scary, the fact that we're still having a big picture conversation on the composition of the lineup.
I can't remember the terminology you used yesterday about
the behavior.
Was it behavior modification?
They need a behavior modification.
On ice behavior modification.
And that comes back to the details.
Yep.
And when you're in game 61, and for the most part, this whole team has been there the whole season, like the big boys, and those details should be habits now. You shouldn't have to think about them. You should just play that way every night. And certain nights it's going to work for you, certain nights it's not going to, but you fall back on the nights where it's not going for you on your habits and on your details. They're not there. And that's what's something that if you're a Leafs fan, you're concerned about because you're watching teams with really strong details. Last night, Pittsburgh, it's Boston, it's Tampa, it's Washington. You know, Hayes always goes through the list of top-tier teams. Those, like, they're like a machine. Like, you know, they play. Like, Ovi scores one night or whatever. It doesn't happen for him, but Washington plays the same way every night.
But that's the thing. That is one thing I want to get back to here, because a behavior change would suggest that the same people that are on the ice could effectively be a winning team if their behavior changes. That doesn't mean you need new players.
Well,
Is it new players or a new attitude?
I think they need some different players.
Right.
I think behavior modification is about the coach. You got to dial into the details. Scotty Bowman, you know what? I've been using this parallel. In the early 90s, go and look at the Detroit Red Wings roster. Okay, just go look at it. And they had Ray Sheppard. He was a 50-goal scorer, right? Now go look at the rosters in 97 and 98 when they won the Cup. Just go look at them. Mm-hmm. You will see the difference in roster composition. It doesn't mean that Ray Sheppard wasn't a good player. It just meant you had too much of the same player. You had Dino Cicerelli and you had Ray Sheppard. They needed something different. Jeff knows. He played in the Stanley Cup final in 02 against them. He knows what it was like. We were in Dallas. I know what our team. So here's how they used to roll out. So Yzerman used to come out on the ice. Oh, yeah, there's a day at the beach. And then they'd follow it up with Fedorov, right? Okay, there's a whole different challenge. Right. And then Larry Onoff's line would come out, and those guys would zip around the puck, and you couldn't hit them. And then when you were done, then Draper, Maltby, and McCarty came out.
Yeah.
Like, for 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 60 minutes. Yeah. They just grinded you.
With a dash of Marty Lapointe sprinkled in there.
Well, Marty Lapointe was on the one wing.
Kozlov,
Thomas Holmstrom. They had Kozlov. They had Yzerman. They had different types of players in their lineup. But they didn't have all the same. And they didn't all play the same. Who on this team, I use football as an example. If you have a good offensive line and your quarterback, running back, and wide receivers aren't very good, you got no chance to be good.
Mm-hmm.
If you have really good quarterback, really good running back, and good wide receivers, and your offensive line isn't any good, you have no chance to be good, right? So it's great. You want to play skill. I love offense. But defense matters, and there's a lot of this game that's played in the trenches. I don't think they got the team that can play in the trenches. And that's not about thumping guys or fighting guys. It's about getting in and playing in the trenches.
They don't have the cap space to change it, though, either. I mean, not right now. And
well, you know what? You can make every excuse. A manager's job is to look at a situation and find ways to make the team better. I don't make any excuses for managers. Who created this cap space situation?
No, he did.
Oh, yeah. So now we're going to say they don't have cap space? BS. That's on the manager.
Okay,
don't make excuses for him.
We're going to get. I can tell you where this is all going, because if they end up missing, there's going to be a full just breakdown of every single thing that happened. Yes. And I can tell you what is going to be a prevalent conversation. It'll be July 1st, 2018. That's coming up.
I agree with you, Brian.
And it's coming up a lot.
I agree with you.
And he's got the C on his jersey, and that's what, because that, you know, ultimately, you lock in $11 million, and it changes what you can do. Now, there's nothing you can do about it now. And listen, Tavares is still a great player, and I was all for the signing. If he falls into your lap, he was 27, he's still a very good player, blah, blah, blah. But that led to Matthews getting what he got, Marner, Nylander, et cetera. Now you're in the situation you're in. And we'll cross that bridge if and when we have to.
I'm never going to go back on John Tavares' comments. If he stinks in 2 years and he can't move out there, you're going to say, that doesn't look very good. But you and I were both the happiest two people in Toronto.
100%. And, but it's different. It's not a shot at Tavares. That's what I think is now that the dust is settled, it's not about Tavares. It's about the $11 million and the ability to mold the 22 other spots on your roster.
Right.
Is the point. It has nothing to do with Tavares. Everything to do with the $11 million when you're already loaded with three other guys up front that can put up numbers.
And he set the bar so high last year.
Right.
Like that's, you know, he scored 47. Like the, you know.
And he's got the C on his jersey.
It's a lot of pressure on him, and he's a quiet leader. He works hard. Like he's a, you know, he's not a rah-rah guy. You know, JT goes out and, you know, for the most part, I didn't think he looked great last night, but for the most part, he works really hard, and he works at those details. Like he's really strong on a stick. He wins loose puck battles. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not in the room, and it's not fair for me to say. I have no idea what type of captain he is. Like, we don't know. We're not
in the
room.
Right.
Like, but he's a captain that leads by example. I don't think he's grabbing guys in the room and in guys' faces. That just doesn't seem like that's his nature.
No, I think that's safe to say.
Yeah.
But, again, it's not even about the player or what he brings. If we're talking about building the team, when you know Matthews and Marner and Nylander are getting paid, and you're going to, they probably didn't think when they locked in Tavares, or they weren't hoping it was going to cost them 50% of their cap when all four of them were ultimately signed. I think they were thinking we'll get Nylander at 6, Marner at 8.5, Matthews at 10.5, and it didn't work out that way. And now they're at 50%. But anyway, what are you expecting tomorrow night, Craig? Like, you know, based on recency bias,
I'm shocked they're playing Freddie Anderson.
You are?
Shocked.
Why do you say that?
Because Jack Campbell's been the better goaltender. You need to win a game tomorrow. And Freddie Anderson, I don't blame him last night. The first four goals, he had no chance. The fifth goal, he created his own problem, right? Yeah. But Jack Campbell's played better than him. Don't you want to put your goaltenders playing the best in the net? Sorry, I would not be starting Freddie Anderson on Thursday night.
Would you have to be prepared if you do that if Campbell wins, he's playing?
Absolutely,
like
I would
he's
be.
Just gonna
absolutely,
be
I would
your
be.
Starter.
Well, absolutely, I would be.
I was
merit
earlier,
system. You win, you're in.
I was saying that the fear might be, you know, Freddie, you might lose him mentally, where he's like, okay, you want to play that
if
game?
If you lose him mentally that way, you never had him mentally. I'd rather find out right
up
now.
The example, somebody last year had to tell Jake Allen, you're not playing anymore.
Yeah.
Bingo.
And that's well, the only difference.
And Jake Allen's had a good year this year as a backup.
Yeah,
as his
well,
number
I'm not
two goalie.
Freddie Anderson's a backup.
No. But Jake Allen has had whatever happened last year. He's come back this year and had a good year. I'm just recognizing.
But
Jake
I also
Allen.
He's a goalie. He might know better than all of us. But I also like the idea of saying, look, you're our guy. Get your ass out there and win this game. I like that idea.
Well, I
because he is their guy. He is their number one goalie. That's never going
to
change.
Okay, that's fine today. But you got to go into a game where he's not playing. To help to win, like he's not good, he's not playing well enough right now. So why are you not going to reward the guy that's clearly played better than him since he got here? I'm trying to win a game.
Yeah, well, that's it. Are you in the moment, one game, or are you thinking 21 games?
I'm thinking one. And if Freddie Anderson is so weak that he can't get through that, I'm glad I found out now.
All right, Noodles.
Listen, I.
What about Game 7 last year against Boston?
Yeah, the year before.
Well, my only
I like Freddie Anderson.
It's not like Jack Campbell's won three vests.
That's what I mean. Like, my only worry is at what point the bubble on Campbell bursts.
Right.
Then you got to go back to Freddie. I, the only thing I said that would be contradicting this, Craig, would be I didn't want Sheldon to let the guys off the hook for their effort last night.
I totally agree with that.
All of you are going back at it. Now, if Freddie struggles tomorrow night,
Saturday night's Campbell.
Like that was my mentality.
You played for Pat. You're on the team. I know you're on the team, and you guys got blown out one night. I was with the Leafs too, so why do I have to say you? Those guys, you couldn't believe how bad they were. It was unbelievable. They were embarrassing. Like, but you know, we got blown out by Ottawa. Remember that?
It happened a lot. So
but it got blown. Remember that? And what did Pat do? He came right back, and I believe it was in Ottawa a couple nights later. Same guys. He said, you know what? You're not as bad as you played. Remember that? You remember it.
Did they get a win the next time?
Yep. I think they lost 4. I think we lost 4-3 that night.
Okay,
but it was a good game.
I was talking to Matty Stajan about the good old days, and he's like, Jeff, I'll never forget. Whenever I had a penalty-killing question for Ricky Lee, he'd look at me and say, just read the play. You'd be like, okay.
Great advice, man.
Read the play. Steve Larmer tells a funny story. He was in Chicago real quick. Mike Keenan was coaching, and they're doing F1, F2, F3. And so Steve goes in, and he says, Mike, I'm trying to get this F1, F2. He goes, how do I know if I'm F1 or F2? He goes, Steve, if there's somebody in front of you, that's F1. You're F2. Steve goes, oh, yeah, okay, got it.
Read the play.
Yeah.
Read the play. Good seeing you, Craig,
as always. Okay, see ya.
Don't forget, TSN 1050's trade deadline is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Celebrate the worst of winter in a Subaru. Hurry into your local Ontario Subaru dealer during the Ring On Winter event for lease and finance rates from 0.99%. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline next. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. Looking at the NHL board tonight, I'm on Dallas at home against Arizona. Over the number in Anaheim, Florida. Leaf fans hoping for the Ducks tonight. Big time. And Vancouver at home against Minnie. Throw down 20, you can score 75. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game. So quickly here, Adam Schefter of ESPN tweeting out in the past like 10 minutes that the NFL playoff structure is about to change.
Wow.
Under the current CBA proposal, 7 teams from each conference will make the playoffs with only 1 bye per conference. So the top team in the conference will get a bye. The other 6 are going to play, I guess. There you go. And it would go into effect this upcoming season. So more details still to come, courtesy of Schefter and others. But that's what baseball is proposing. You know, some changes in the way that they operate. Looks like the NFL might be doing something, too. So a little more on that tomorrow. First up, coming up at 6 a.m. with Landsberg and Koliakovo tomorrow morning. And Leafs lunch will be on fire. Matt Cause. Leafs in action tomorrow. We've got to wait until Friday until the Raptors play. Anyway, we'll see.
Should be a good one.
Well,
tonight...
Should be a good one.
Tonight, you're flat out cheering for Anaheim.
Anaheim and the Islanders, where are they? Vegas?
They've already been there.
Colorado, maybe? Wherever
yes, Colorado.
Yeah. Avalanche win tonight.
There you go.
Anaheim win tonight. There you go. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance a Kicks or Cash Kai to receive up to 3 payments on them. Finance rates from 0% on select Cash Kais. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.